Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for this evening, Dave Schrader. Thank you so much for joining me. We're closing in on Christmas, one of my absolute favorite times of year, simply because of the way people carry themselves, the smiles, the kindness that I see when I'm out in public that I don't normally see throughout the rest of the year. Plus, I'm going to admit it, I'm a sap for Christmas movies. Tonight, my children and I put up our Christmas tree. We turned on It's a Wonderful Life, and I got a chance to watch the movie, one of my all-time favorite movies, with my family this evening. And it's interesting. You pop in an old black-and-white movie for kids of today, and a lot of times their eyes roll back in their head, and they want to know if they can go out and read or do something. And within about 10 minutes, this movie grabbed my kids, and we had such a remarkable time watching this. And part of the reason I love that movie, and I watch it every year, is as a reminder for myself. Because I think we all need a checkup from the neck up at least once a year, if not multiple times, of the importance of being, why we are here, what are we meant to do, how do we affect our lives to be better and help those around us. We're going to focus on a lot of this evening on the show. I've got two guests that are joining me, two great guests. Mary Tracy O'Keefe will be here in the first 2 hours with her new book, Meant to Be Moments, discovering what we are called to do and be. And then in the last 2 hours of the show, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Daniel Fazina will be our guest this evening. And we're going to talk about real-life miracles that have occurred, over 50 stories that he's collected for his brand-new book. What are miracles? How do we find them? How do we look for them? What does the definition of a miracle mean? We'll talk about all of that this evening as the show progresses. But I thought it's a good time of year to reflect and look back on these moments. And again, because sometimes we take things for granted, you know, so many people look for signs, they want their miracle, and they're looking to the heavens for a lightning bolt, and sometimes they miss the things right in front of them that might help put them back on the path. What are we here to do? Are there really things such as coincidences, or does everything happen for a reason? Our guest, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, will return with me in a few moments to talk about that and so much more with her new book, Meant to Be Moments. Stay tuned. We've got so much coming up for you this evening, and I'm so pleased to be a part of the show with you. You're listening to Coast AM. Mary Tracy O'Keefe, MA, is a spiritual director, breast cancer survivor, co-founder of a nonprofit holistic center, national speaker, hospice volunteer, radio show host, and award-winning author of two books. A total slacker, you can tell by her resume. How do you handle all of that responsibility, all of those different jobs, and so many things that demand your life, Trace? Mary, that's an amazing resume to have.
Well, fortunately, all of those things are part-time.
but part-time, that still seems like an awful lot of time to be involved in things. But boy, you've got your work cut out for you. You certainly seem to have found your place in life and ways to change your life and help affect other people as well.
Oh, thank you, Dave. You know, I hope I'm practicing what I preach. I really do just pay attention and respond to these opportunities and the meant-to-be moments in my own life, and have for about 20 years.
I want to talk about this because I think, you know, especially this time of year, I know there's a lot of rumors and hearsay that, you know, this is the time of year more depression is higher. I think I've done some research on this in the past, and if I recall correctly, that's not necessarily true. But we do all face those existential moments of, why am I here? What good have I brought to the universe? What am I supposed to be doing? And it's real easy to get lost in the shuffle of life and forget maybe, you know, the things that we've done to help others, and the so many little bumps in the road that we've hit that have actually sent other paths off into very prosperous things. And, you know, I say that because, you know, as doing the radio show and going out and meeting people and public speaking myself, it's amazing how years later I'll hear back from somebody about how something we said or a guest we had on their show turned their life around and gave them some insight to something. And you realize just, you know, in very subtle ways how important your life can be. But people are always looking for a way to tap into their potential and tap into finding out, you know, what am I meant to do? How do people start to open up to that and realistically do that? I mean, that's, I got to guess, a very big stumbling point for a lot of people, because we know the question, but we don't know really how to start searching the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first step, Dave, is to pay attention to what's going on in your life. You know, pay attention to that little voice that tells you to reach out to the cashier in the grocery store that you're going to meet in an hour or so, or reach out to the coincidence that might have connected you to, perhaps it's a work opportunity, perhaps it's an opportunity to help someone on a grand scale. But as you said, when you were talking about the miracles in the beginning and the introduction, you know, it isn't just the big things that we need to look for. It's the little things. Start with those.
Let's talk about your book. It's called Meant to Be Moments, Discovering What We Are Called to Do and Be. What is a meant to be moment?
Well, Dave, a meant to be moment are those times in your life where you feel as if you have been guided, comforted, helped, awed in some way, and they can happen during the worst times of our life. You know, at the time when we're suffering, something will happen that reassured us that maybe the loved one we have lost is still very much connected to us and is at peace. And oftentimes they involve that still small voice, as I mentioned, intuition, synchronicity, people who show up, and nature, and then and allow things to occur around the death of a loved one.
All right. You know, you, as I said, you've got so many different irons in the fire, and you volunteer for hospice, you're a breast cancer survivor yourself. You've certainly faced some moments in your life where you've had to deal with death or the possibilities of it. What was the first time that you noticed these kind of meant to be moments in your life?
Well, the first time I noticed it actually was an opportunity for me, I think, to possibly prevent a death, which was my own. And that was when I was 18 years old. I was parked outside my parents' house with my boyfriend, who's now my husband of over 40 years. And we were visiting and having a fine old time, as you can imagine. And I heard an inner message that said to get out of the car. And I didn't respond to it at first, and then I heard it again. And this time it said, get out of the car now. And I couldn't ignore it. So I told Dan, my boyfriend at the time, that we had to get out of the car. And he said, why? And, of course, I didn't want to say, I'm hearing a voice in my head. That would have been the end of him. So I didn't say that. I just said, I don't know. We have to get out of the car. And no sooner had we gotten into my parents' home, we were taking off our coats and heard a big crash. Teenage driver, 18, same age as us, had smashed into the back of Dan's car and sent it careening into the neighbor's yard. So had I not listened to it back then, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Well, that's certainly a grab-your-attention moment, isn't it?
It was. It was. But I didn't know what it was at the time. I thought maybe I was telling myself that message. And over time, as I realized, you know, I couldn't have done that. It had to come from something within me, but also beyond me, greater than me. And that's when it became more or less a spiritual experience for me, when I had that realization.
Now, is this something that once that door was open for you, you became much more aware of these meant-to-be moments in your life? Or did it take stumbling upon a few more of those lightning bolt instances to really grab your attention?
It really took me a while. You know, when that happened, I was 18. I did not have a strong faith. I was a Catholic because I was raised that, but I really didn't think much about God or my faith. And so I just went on with life. And it actually took a situation many years later where I reconnected with a former boss who was a mentor to me. And he was in the final months of his life, didn't know it at the time, but I had these feelings I should reconnect with him. And a series of coincidences and things just happening accompanied that reconnection. And that's when I started noticing. It's the stuff, Dave, that you probably wouldn't notice so much with a good friend. You would just know what to do. You know, you'd know to reach out when somebody's sick, when you find out they're sick. But it stood out to me because it wasn't somebody that I was that connected to. And I did choose to respond, and I noticed the more I would respond to these opportunities, the more they seemed to occur.
So you did, in a sense, open that conduit. And once you become accepting to that, it happens. Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you think, though, could you fall into the category of starting to, what's the word I want to use? Believing everything is a sign, believing everything is, you know what I'm saying in that sense? Because that's what I would tend to be afraid of. And I've watched some people that have had that where then all of a sudden everything has a much deeper meaning. And, it isn't just an instance. No, this has to be a major sign. And mm-hmm. how do you not fall prey to maybe overthinking and over-rationalizing these situations too?
That is a great question, Dave. That really is a great question because you're right. People could get that. I haven't noticed that myself, and because a lot of it is letting go, too. If you think of it in terms of a sign is communication from beyond, which I think a true meant to be moment can be that. But no, not everything is. But the ones that really are something, I think you just know it. You just know it in your core. And in spiritual direction, there's the whole concept of discernment. And discernment means, is this from God or not from God? And one of the kind of signs, I guess you would say, is that you have this kind of sense of certainty about it. And so if you're not sure, I would just continue to ask for some guidance. You can ask for more signs, and then if they continually are giving the same message, for example, when a coincidence happens, that's twice. If you're not sure if something is directing you after two times, ask for something to happen again. And when it happens three times, for me, that becomes kind of a mandate, and I do really heed whatever I'm being guided to do at that point.
Give me an example. When that has happened in your life, what happened that gave you a little sign and then you saw it again trigger and then you realized the third time around, this is my calling?
Well, not the first time, I've noticed this many times, but I'll tell you about one that was most significant to me was probably 1998 or so. I was reading my church bulletin, and I saw a little notice in there about doing hospice volunteering. And I just looked at that, and I thought, boy, that's something I would like to do someday. And before that, I had a feeling at some point I would work with people at the end of their lives. And so I'd go to seminars in death and dying, and they had nothing to do with my job. I was in the corporate world. I was in sales and marketing. Nothing to do with that. So now I look back and say I was kind of almost being primed a little bit. So I noticed that little notice the first day. The second day I was delivering meals actually at a Dorothy Day Center with my best friend. And she is a nurse, and she happened to say to me, Mary, I saw a notice they need hospice volunteers at her healthcare system. And she said, I think you should think about doing that. You'd be really good at it. So that's catching my attention. However, I'm arguing with it because I'm thinking it's not the right time. I'm already busy. I have four kids. And, I couldn't see taking on another commitment. However, 1 hour after she said that, I'm still at the same place. And an elderly gentleman who I hardly knew came up to me and said, Mary, I've been thinking about you, and I think you should think about working with dying people. He was a volunteer. He did that himself. And there's no reason why he should have said that to me. I hardly knew him. So because three times in 2 days, the message seemed to be clear that I should do this hospice volunteering, I decided to heed it. And it's too long of a story to repeat here, but I will just say that was the very first step in putting me into a situation where more and more opportunities opened up, and I eventually opened up a place. I co-founded a place called Well Within, which is a nonprofit holistic healing center near St. Paul, Minnesota, where we offer low-cost and free holistic healing therapies and psychotherapies and all sorts of things for people living with serious illnesses, including at the end of their life. So it started with three times, and it ended up there.
Could I ask you, and a little bit off topic on this, but stick with me, and hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense why I ask this. Being a hospice volunteer, being there for people's final moments, that to me sounds like it would be one of the toughest jobs to deal with, because you know, even police officers and firefighters and EMTs, they don't know if they're going into a situation where there's a dead person every time or somebody that's dying. Yeah. Your job is, in fact, dealing with that and dealing and facing death and mortality regularly. How do you not let that affect you?
I've done the hospice volunteering. I've also spoken to a lot of hospice volunteers. Quite frankly, they have a lot. They're a good source of stories for me. I can't think of many times that are more sacred, except for maybe the birth of a child, but I can't think of a more sacred time than at the end of life. And almost uniformly, Dave, the people that I speak to that do this kind of work feel called to do it. It is a calling. And, you know, when you are doing what you are called to do, it's using your gifts. This week I've been with a friend, actually, who's she's not quite at hospice, but she's decided to forego any more treatment for her cancer. And it has been just a blessing and an honor to see the way that she is coming into this peacefulness as she approaches the end of her life. It's not always that for everybody, but it is. It's just so sacred. It's such sacred work, and I do feel called to do it. And when you do that, I believe you're given the grace to do that what you are called to do.
And that's what I was hoping to hear from you. That when you get the calling, it's something because it's part of who you already are to deal with this. And you talk about the fact that you think it's kind of a beautiful, meaningful moment to be there at that transitionary point for people. When you do this type of work and you are helping someone, are there meant to be moments in that crossing over period? Are there meant to be moments for family members and friends and people that are there to witness this? Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, explain to us a little bit about that dying process and how people are impacted by that moment.
There's a lot of times that I would call them not even just meant to be moments, but thin places. Dying is a thin place. And I actually wrote about that in my first book, not to be shamelessly marketing it, but I want to distinguish what I mean by that, because a thin place is a Celtic concept over in Ireland. It meant geographic locations, but it's those times, I read about it and others do. It's those times in our life where the veil is very thin between this world and the next. And so, therefore, that time before dying can be a thin place when something happens. For example, my husband's grandfather was 100 as he was dying, and his wife, Anna, had been married to him for 70 years, was snuggled up next to him as he was dying. And his last words to her were, "Mama, it's so beautiful here." So, you know, it was obvious he had observed something, you know, something was going on. So she had that moment. She shares that moment with others. I'm sharing it now with you and your listeners. And it becomes a thin place for all of us. So you can have little things like that. And ironically, even in the worst of times, as you're losing someone, my family experienced that when our parents died within 3 months of each other. That's why I wrote my book. We had several of those, and they were so comforting and so faith-affirming, and they helped us both get ready for the death of our parents and also brought us tremendous comfort after they died.
Do you believe that because their passing was so close to one another, was that, were they a meant to be moment? Were they meant to be together, and that connection transcended life? And when it was time to end, they still needed to be together.
I definitely believe that they were meant to be together. I think that's a huge kind of category of meant to be, things that we meet the people that we are meant to be with. And as far as being connected, I absolutely agree that they are still connected. They're certainly together. I say certainly. My faith tells me they are together now, wherever they are, or heaven, wherever they are. But it also tells me that they are also connected with me and my 9 siblings and our families, because we've had these things happen. So that, therefore, for me, I have no fear around death, and that gets back to the hospice volunteering. People can tell when others that they're with are not afraid to die, if they're not afraid of death. And these sort of events, Dave, have helped me get very comfortable with death. And so that's it's a wonderful gift, because you simply don't fear it, nor do I fear the death of someone close to me. And that makes them comfortable to be with somebody, because then they can talk about stuff with me.
Meant to be moments, discovering what we are called to do and be. Mary Tracy O'Keefe is our guest for the first 2 hours. We'll open up phone lines next hour. If you have questions, thoughts, your own experiences you'd like to share with us, we'll be happy to take your phone calls and discuss that. Mary's going to give us some more insights on opening ourselves, understanding our positions, and how we can figure out what we're here to do and make the biggest impact with the life that we're given. Stay tuned. That comes up next on Coast to Coast AM. Mary Tracy O'Keefe, our guest this evening for the first 2 hours, meant to be moments, discovering what we are called to do and be. Are there moments in our lives that seem coincidental but really have a deeper meaning? Now, Mary, of course, reading your book and understanding what you've been talking about tonight, you don't really believe in just the coincidental moments, do you? You believe that there is a meaning behind all of these big moments in our life.
I think so. I'm hedging because of the all part. It's kind of like when people ask me, does everything happen for a reason? And I struggle with the everything part. I do think that many, many things do happen for a reason. And here's the other thing that I would say distinguishes my belief and those of many of the people that I've talked to, is the fact that we believe that at least some things happen for a reason, some things are meant to be, mean we look for meaning, and we try to give meaning to things that we have kind of a hunch may have some meaning. So that's why it's important to not just pay attention to these things, Dave, but also to go through some kind of reflective process and try to decide if something's happening that is inviting me to give response to that, or if I can just take it in and receive that comfort or receive that awe that I am observing.
We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll discuss more about the moments in our lives that stand out and finding our purpose, finding our direction in life. Mary Tracy O'Keefe is our guest here on Coast to Coast AM. It seems in life most of us have faced that George Bailey moment from It's a Wonderful Life, where we stand on the bridge, either metaphorically or literally, wondering what we should do and why are we here? What impact have we made in the world? Our guest this evening, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, has written a book called Meant to Be Moments, Discovering What We Are Called to Do and Be. I think it's important, especially this time of year, because people are seeking answers. The new year's coming. People want to shake off the past, start anew, and put themselves on a path to recovery, to better health, to better consciousness, to a bigger awakening. And that's why I thought this would be a great little topic to cover coming into the holidays, a time when we could start to turn things around for ourselves, make ourselves feel better, and give ourselves some direction. Because I think, Mary, you might agree with me on this. Once we have set a goal, once we have a plan in motion in front of us, that alone can help pick us up and alter and change our perceptions.
I absolutely agree with that, Dave. And I think that once you have that plan, to keep trying to see where you're being guided. Sometimes, I have to say, sometimes you think you're going in one direction and you're invited to take a detour, and it turns out that the detour lands you where you really are called to be. So it's sometimes not clear in the beginning where you're going to end up, and that's where you have to trust, and you have to kind of continually be asking for more help, more guidance, and watching for more opportunities. You know, sometimes you're just given the guidance, like I was with the hospice, just that first step. I had no idea that would, create a whole new career for me, but it did.
It is funny. I briefly touched on it in the beginning of the show, how many lives we touch and can change without even knowing it, without even realizing it. You know, you meet these people in your life, and you know, a perfect example, good friends of mine, Heather and Mike. I was good friends with Heather, and she was from a different part of the world from my friend Mike. And Heather had come to visit me at an event, and she met Mike through me. Mike reached out afterwards asking if it would be okay if he connected with her. And they've got this amazing marriage. It's like these two were meant to be. And there just had to be some catalyst to tie them together, bring those lives into conjunction, and start that up. And it's fun for me to sit back and watch moments like that happen, and not taking the glory or any grace for myself, saying, oh boy, if it weren't for me. But it's gives me a better perspective in my life. And you know, we all face dark days where we sometimes wonder why we're here. What have we, you know, what have we accomplished? What are we here to do? And then when you do take stock of that and start to look back and realize how many people in your life have a better life because you're here, I think that helps you start to develop yourself and open up to possibilities and realize that there is more going on here than just maybe our own little shallow worlds that we can get so easily entangled in.
That's right. And Dave, you know, you mentioned depression early in the show, and I know you've done some research on it, as have I. And one of the, I won't call it an anecdote, but something that can really help with depression is altruism, is doing other things, things for other people. And what the research that I've read shows that if I do something kind for you, Dave, your immune system is strengthened as receiving that kind act, and so is mine for doing something kind. And also, if somebody is watching us, their immune system is strengthened. And so it strengthens our immune system, and the depression will be helped, because, you know, depression has a lot of fear based around it. And, you know, many of you probably heard the adage about perfect love casts all fear. When we do something that is loving, in a, it doesn't have to be a big way, it can be a small way, small act of kindness. When we do that, that helps remove that fear and lessen anxiety and lessen depression. So we can do it for ourselves, but if we do it for another person without thought of really what we're receiving, that is overall going to help us in mind, body, and spirit with some healing.
And that's a beautiful sentiment, especially at this time of year, because we can get so self-absorbed into our own poor me's and look at how rough life is. And I'm reminded, you know, I briefly touched on it last night during the show, and during our show on Darkness Radio, we do this Adopt-A-Family deal during the holidays. And this year we've helped four different families that were just in a bad place in their life, and medically and financially, and, you know, families with children, and they had no way to bring Christmas home for their family this year. And so many amazing people from around the world that don't know these people personally, have never met them, to watch the kindness that they put into it. And even in moments of despair, when one of the families reached out and said, Dave, we were prepared to send something out to the family you sent to us, and we were getting it all ready, and our car broke down, and it cost us multiple thousands of dollars, and we were really heartbroken that we couldn't help this family. And when we mentioned it to our children, the children got together and grabbed their gift cards that they'd already gotten for Christmas, and each one donated a gift card to send to this family, so that that family would still have a Christmas.
Wow!
And that lifted the spirits of the parents in a moment of, you know, they felt bad enough that they had this problem in their own life, but then felt dejected that they couldn't help somebody else. And then their children showed them there is another way.
I love that. You know, that is a beautiful story, and it actually illustrates another point that is really, I think, very significant about doing good for others. And that is, again, research, when they talk to kids in college who were volunteering and really doing lots of wonderful things for other people, the one common trait that they mentioned was that they watched their parents do these sort of things. So what you're talking about, Dave, is a beautiful example, whether it's doing the, our kids did that too with their school when they were growing up. You know, they see you doing that. My husband, for example, delivers Meals on Wheels every Friday, has for years. And when our kids were young, he would take them with during breaks, you know, and they would see that their dad delivers Meals on Wheels. And sure enough, they've all done many, you know, meaningful volunteer things as they've grown into being adults. So I think that's another important point. Our kids are watching us, and we need to model that kind of behavior. We shouldn't just be talking about it. We need to do it.
All right. We've got a point in our life where people are feeling maybe lost or concerned. They're looking to redirect their life, and they start to feel a calling and they get a second sign that this is the calling, and then maybe even the third, pulling them, as you said, once that third definitive message comes through to you. But they're in a position where they feel like, all right, I'm hearing the phone is ringing. I just can't answer right now. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the, and you said that that was one of the issues you had. And then when you opened up, things seemed to move, right? The universe shifted for you to make it fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. And you know, I was lucky. I was in a position that I could leave the corporate job that I had. I was able to focus and do some volunteering. Well, everything I did for the last 15 years has been pretty much as a volunteer. Not everybody can do that. So what I want to say is that it doesn't have to be a full career shift that we maybe need to do. And sometimes something that we do in a small step turns out to be something bigger. Dave, I'd like to share a little story with you, if I could just illustrate that. And it's kind of a Christmas story. So can I share this with you?
Certainly.
What I mean. So one of the stories in my book is by a woman. She calls herself the Marble Lady because she was passionate about marbles. And she had a day job. She was a waitress. But she loved marbles. And so one time she was organizing some marbles in a room, and she heard a voice direct her to put together a beautiful bag of marbles. And she didn't know who it was talking to her, but it was a very clear message. So she did that. And not long after that, she was carrying this around for a couple of days. About 3 days before Christmas, she was supposed to go to a meeting at her church. It got canceled. And so she had some time. She goes across the street to the dollar store looking for some last-minute Christmas things. I just did that the other day at the dollar store. But anyway, she's in line waiting to pay for her things. A woman comes rushing into the store, asks the clerk where the marbles were. Well, I mean, there's not marbles in the dollar store. And so he told her that, and she said, no, they must have some, and he apologized. And then she starts to cry. And this woman, the marble lady, her name is Kathy, she taps the woman on the shoulder, and she says, ma'am, I have some marbles that you can have. And the woman asked who she was. She had to rush off. But she took Kathy's email, and then later, Kathy gets an email from this woman who talks about this little girl that she has, an adopted daughter, Michaela, and she had a horrible, horrible, you know, abuse before she was adopted as a three-year-old child. Anyways, all she wanted for Christmas, all she wanted was marbles, and this now adopted mom couldn't find it. She was so upset. And so she prayed. She asked that God would help her find the marbles. And the next day, something told her to go to the dollar store and, you know, the rest of the story. And so Kathy was sharing that story because she wanted me to know that this was a meant-to-be moment, because she just kind of followed that inner message, you know. She didn't know why she's putting together marbles. It's a small act of kindness, but it's a very big, I think it's a big story, because this is the way Kathy lives. And so I think if we tap into that, those inner messages that give us suggestions for what we're called to do, being called to do something might be something, yeah, you know, that answers the plea of a young mom that's looking for the perfect gift for her child.
And it puts you in the place where you need to be, right? I mean, here was this call out, and when she felt the need to be in a certain place at that time, it is amazing. And again, some people can pawn it off as coincidence, but there was a reason for both of those people to be in that place at that moment.
That's right. Right, even the meeting canceling so that she just happens to go to the store. I mean, all the little aspects of them, the woman asking for the help from God, you know, all those little things. And that's the thing, Dave, and it sounds like you're tapped into this too, and that's why I love talking to you about it, because you are tapped into it. But really, the more you notice these things, not just notice them, you know, open yourself to responding, you're really going to see these things happening all the time. And you just will kind of become more discerning about really what you are called to do, rather than it being quite so overwhelming and quite so confusing for you.
And you touched on discernment a little bit earlier, rather. Explain that again for listeners that may not understand. What is discernment, and especially in this context?
Yeah, discernment, you know, you can always use that phrase as just trying to decide how to make a decision, but in spiritual direction, that really means how do I know that something is from God? And one of the easiest ways to decide that is, what are the fruits of that experience? So the fruits would be, what are the outcomes of that experience? In fact, that's right out of Scripture. In Scripture, it says the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the sort of things that God would be present in, those sort of things. So things that make us fearful, angry, hateful, those are not, that's not the way God works. Not like that. Another way to be discerning is to look for things in your life where you're grateful for something. And that can be the person who shows up with the marble bag. That's where you can find God in your life, too, are those moments where there are things that you're very you're thankful for. And the importance is, too, to express that gratitude for those things.
Right, that attitude of gratitude, yeah. Which is something so many people forget about. And it does have that, you know, the book The Secret, which was all the rage a few years ago. And I think the reason that it fell off was, The Secret had a great story to it, and it had a great roadmap. The problem was, it didn't tell you how to get there. It gave you some of the tools, but didn't tell you how to make it happen. Yeah. And, you know, life isn't just about thinking, I want a good parking spot, and then there's one for you. It's about making the plan, putting it into motion, and then watching as the seas part for you to have this kind of revelation, right? I mean, it's once you're setting and you've got that momentum and inertia behind you, things have a tendency of getting out of your way.
That's right. And you know, Dave, the thing is, too, where you said I, The Secret was about me, I, Mary, setting my intention and putting it out there. That's not the way I think it's great to have intentions. I really do. But it isn't all about what I want. This is another aspect of discernment. It's really, what does God want? For example, I've written two books. To be honest, I really don't like to write all that much, but I feel called to do it. The stories drop in my lap. I apparently have some kind of talent in doing it. I can tell a good story, but it was really, really hard for me to write. In fact, the second book took me about 20 years to do it. But because I felt that it was something God wanted me to do, I didn't give up. I didn't throw in the towel. I kept doing it despite my resistance to it. So that's another important aspect. It's not just about what I want. It's what does God want of me? And I do believe when we do the things that God wants us to do, if it might not always make us happy necessarily. I'm not always happy writing, but I am fulfilled, because I'm doing what I'm meant to do.
We have a few minutes left in this segment, and we'll open up the phone lines at the top of the hour if you have your own moments that you'd like to share, or if you have questions for our guest about these moments and how we can have more of them. Tell me one of your favorite meant-to-be moments that you cover in the new book.
You know, there's one that, there's so many of them, but one of the favorite ones that I have is about my friend Leela, and she is somebody that offered to volunteer for us at Well Within. All of our services are provided by volunteers, and somehow she just showed up, and she has had some amazing kind of vision. So one thing that she does to help Well Within is she works on me a little bit. She'll do some energy work, and one time she was doing that, and all of a sudden she says, St. Francis is in the room. And I'm Catholic, and so I'm very open to St. Francis, but she's Hindu, so I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. And so she can see people. And I said, really? She says, yeah, he's talking to me, and he's saying something about a pedestal, and it looks like he's writing a note. I said, really? And then she doesn't know what that means, so she goes, what is that about, Mary? And I said, well, my grandfather was a surgeon, but he also loved to carve wood, and he loved St. Francis. So he had carved statues of St. Francis, and he had a ceramic statue out in his garden. So when my mother moved into a house many, many years ago, I brought her a St. Francis statue. And when I moved into my own house, not too long before this experience with Leela, I just happened to find a note from my mother, who is now dead, from my mother thanking me for the statue that I had given her maybe 20 years ago.
Very powerful. We have to take a break, Mary. I'm sorry. We'll come back after the top of the hour. We'll take your phone calls. We'll talk about more meant-to-be moments and how you can start to discern and find the roadmap to be where you are supposed to be. That comes up next on Coast to Coast AM.